So first of all, I want to apologize for the background. So as you know, it's the 4th of July weekend and there's parades going on. And some of the, what do you call it? The like right now, there's floats, that's it, floats moving by with a good amount of music. Earlier it was the Brick House. Usually I really enjoy that song. I noticed I wasn't enjoying it so much during a guided meditation. Although it could be seen as the earth element, couldn't it? In true interbeing nature. And all the other elements in it. Today I wanted to share just a little bit about just acknowledging the times that we're in, not trying to keep it out of our sacred spaces, our spiritual spaces. Acknowledging there's unrest. Yeah, there's unrest in the society. And we may be experiencing it a certain way here in the US with this sort of very strange authoritarian government that is making decisions for our bodies, our planet, our sacred earth. And yet it's not only happening in the United States. It has really far ramifications, not just on our bodies, but on the land. And just the chaos that is about, for many places we exist, especially as BIPOC people, or BIPOC in the US, and just being aware of in Europe and other places that the phrasing is different. BME, BAIPOC, what we're meaning is people of non-European descent, that our communities have already been fractured from just history of racism, the way it shows up in our body and on a population level, and that there's healing that is required to take care of that, that's still in us. So there's bodies of work to talk about, particularly I'm thinking about Mindy Fulilo, with her colleagues talk about that we're already in fractiles. If you can imagine, we're like fractiles. We're already fractured. And then when all these things continue to happen, there's fracture on fracture. There's chaos on chaos because we haven't really, as societies, had the time or the collective inclination to repair and to heal. And so a lot of us have been doing it in silos, within smaller groups. And yet as a collective, larger society that we inhabit, we haven't had that intention, that energy, that love to move us in that direction of healing. And so this fragmented, fractured society and the people in it, when these things like COVID and the killing of Black people with no understanding of more violence, the control of people with reproductive opportunity by those who have no no rights or no inclination, who now want to do that. All these things just keep fracturing us more. And so it's a difficult time. And it's really important for us to acknowledge we're in these times. You know, people may say, oh, I just got numb one day and I don't even know why, from my belly up to my head, or I just went into like this zone of not hearing people, or I just had this weird anxiety moment. So when people are saying, or I feel really depressed, or when we're hearing these things, we really have to understand that these are some of the body's response to what is happening, even though we might not be able to name this or connection, like something just happened specifically to me that now I feel numb. It doesn't even have to be like that. It's this collective fracturedness that's happening, that is eliciting in our body and our hearts different ways to take care of it. And so it's really, really important to name it, to and to take good care of it. And what we're lucky to have as a community is a practice that helps us to notice it. This is what mindfulness does, right? It helps us to notice and to know what's there, and then to know what's needed there and then. Yeah. So these are real times when we remember our practice, when we remember the not just the importance, but the life-giving ability of our practice. Especially at a time when it feels like, for some of us, we got to act, we got to do, we got to get out there and change these things that are happening amongst us. You know, what about the climate? What about our children? What about this? How do we not go running out in fear and anger? And how do we find the spaciousness in ourselves first before we act? Because we're certainly not saying action isn't needed. We're saying, what's informing our action? How do we act? How is practice helping us? Before, during, and after our action, because that is our practice, right? Before I say something, this is something I want to say. Is it going to bring benefit? While I'm saying it, should I continue saying it? Will this bring benefit, or will it bring harm? After we say it, was that something that was beneficial? Should I say it again, or should I not? How should I change it? So this practice of right energy and right effort, it's always there with us. And during these times, it's even more precious because of how the collective consciousness is landing in our mind and our hearts and our bodies. And so this coming back home, right here, right now, would be the first thing, right? Like just taking care of what is here with me. And honestly, each one of us should be doing a body scan every day, because we are not immune from what is happening in this world. And so part of taking care of what's happening in the world is to notice what is happening inside of us. And so whatever your process for noting what is going on, taking a moment every morning to notice what is there, what am I noticing in this body, is really important, because then we can take care of it, right? Whatever things are getting stimulated or activated, we can notice what's there and take care of it, instead of going through the day doing our usual thing, and then all of a sudden we're like, God, I'm exhausted. I can't figure out why I'm so tired and fatigued these days, or why am I getting these headaches? So noticing every day, what is there? What is here with me? This is part of taking care of coming back home to this body and heart. And whatever that practice is, if it's meditation, yoga, walking, being in reflection, journaling, dancing, praying, listening to music, whatever that is for you. How are we taking care? Then there's the way we're practicing with each other in the very small and large ways in our daily lives. So sometimes we say there's this big thing happening and we want to go out and change it. And yet right in our homes, the way we're engaging with someone close to us, a coworker, someone in an organization with us, or a parent, a partner, a sibling, a child, a friend, we're not engaging with them in the most mindful and beautiful way. Maybe there's a minor conflict and we're not able to take care of that. And so these moments when these big things are happening in the world, this is still not a moment where we leave or put aside what is happening right there in our own household, in our own community. And so practicing this kindness, this compassion with a coworker, with a friend, if we're a student, with our instructors, if we're an instructor, with our students, practicing with these minor, everyday, mundane conflicts, this is what gives us the opportunity to shift this energy of conflict and war and hatred that is amongst us right now, that is showing its head in these different ways, because it matters what we do every day. And so we want to remember how we are practicing with conflict, this little conflict, the person, the store that tells us we didn't put this thing back right. How did we take care of that? Did we roll our eyes? Did we get angry at them and just decide that they're the wrong ones and we're the right ones? Those tiny little daily engagement, how are we engaging? Because that has a ripple effect. And so we may not think that that has anything to do with the war in Ukraine or with the Supreme Court or with any of the things that are happening today. And yet it does, because we are collectively requiring the way we act to shift what is happening. And it's going to be this collective drop, drop, drop of each one of us that comes together to bring this mass force. Just like how it's been the collective energy of each of us that in some way, shape, and form has participated in what is here now. Maybe not directly. And yet there's ways that we have all engaged in this moment and in past moments that has manifested. It doesn't end right here. That response to the store clerk or the bus driver, that discounting of the person, the homeless person on the street, that has effect. It really does. This is our practice. What am I doing in every moment? Apparently important or non-important? Apparently non-important. And so this is another step, right? Or movement in the direction of taking care of what is here with us these days. The interpersonal, the what is in my body? How am I taking care of that? And then with the people around us. And then the last one I want to mention is Sangha. Finding community in Sangha. What's the role of the Sangha during these times? At these times when everything seems very chaotic and ungrounded, it is even more important for us to find places of solidity. The element of solidity that gives us some rooting down. And this is, Sangha is this. Sangha is a place where we come together for reconnecting with our humanity, to bring, come back into community. So finding Sangha and finding Sangha in such a way that we can really feel the solidity that the Sangha is here, it's solid. I can come back and I can be with Sangha and listen with Sangha and share with Sangha. And because I know the Sangha is on the path. So we have this kind of, in the world, we talk about it as organizational. We need organizational direction. And Sangha is that for us. It's, there's other types of organizations for some of us. And for us, for some of us, and for all of us here, Sangha, I mean, we're here today. That's a point. Today in the US, it's July 4th weekend. A lot of folks are, you know, out doing what they need to do. I think we had like 14 RSVPs for today. And yet it's a really nice day, at least in the Baltimore area. And people are finding Sangha in other places. And you are finding Sangha here in this space. You're reconnecting with people who are intentional around rehumanizing ourselves. And this is part of it, like coming back to places that reground us, that give us direction, because we forget. It's so, right now there's so much, and if we're getting into the consuming of the media, we can really lose ourselves. And so as we minimize our media consumption, maybe we take up being with Sangha, being with our organizations that really help us remember ourselves, our humanity. And in the Sangha, you know, it doesn't mean we don't continue to light our way, right? Remember when the Buddha was about to pass, he said to Ananda, take refuge in yourself. Be an island unto yourself. Be the lamp. The lamp meaning the truth. Find the truth in yourself. The Parinibbana Sutta or Sutra. And so as we do that and we bring that into the Sangha space, we create this collective light that helps us to light our way. So it's a shared practice. The Sangha helps us to remember, I need to practice. I need to remember in the morning what's in my body right now. We need to think of these times as things are there, they're impacting us. We might not feel it, but energetically it's coming into us. And so what's it doing? How am I taking care of it? And so take a little extra time every day, maybe 15 extra minutes with your tea or coffee in the morning. Maybe going to bed 15 minutes earlier or 30 minutes earlier. Maybe adding 10, 15 minutes to your walk if you do that every day. Whatever you do, acknowledge what we need to do to take good care of ourselves during these challenging times. We've been on a roller coaster in the last few years. And so let's acknowledge it, not pretend that we're not human. And take care of ourselves. So I think I'll stop there, and I will stop this.